when you're talking about things that are not commonly known, then you cannot just write an article, academic article with a lot of footnotes and explaining everything perfectly.
Yeah,
you just have to get people thinking.
Yeah,
and be very clear about this is right, this is wrong, and they're like, what?
Yeah. I think this is more powerful than the truth about art, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it really, you're the one who's taking the quiz.
Yeah.
You're not just judging some like historical.
Well, I know. When was that? That was maybe around 2000 or something like that. Other made a Kish
right.
questionnaire
in the book on Kish, yeah.
And he had another painter take that test, and he failed it. But I had, I don't know, let's say 50% or whatever. And that guy got so infuriated. He wanted to get it one more time and get it correct, you know, because it was like, at the same time as you know, you're not supposed to sort of identify with Kitsch because we know it's just a PR stunt or it's just for the Nordrum students or whatever. Then suddenly when the Kitsch questionnaire came,
yeah,
it was very important to get the right answer. I think that so that hooks people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a certain competition to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you can have. It's just like the first one here. A masterpiece is fundamentally the result of either imitation of nature or boundless creation. And I think you've been really skilled at getting to the core of what people typically believe.
Yeah.
Because they want to have that freedom of power, freedom of creation, right?
Yeah, right.
And I think that's the positive thing that, you know, the thing you need first and foremost. And I don't understand that, you need to have some sort of some parameters to be able to create anything at all, right?
Yeah.
and how it works in the kitschified.info page.
Yeah. Oh, what do you?
Yeah, yeah. That was just fantastic how you can take that test and for each answer immediately correct or wrong. Yeah. You are wrong.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Wrong. You are wrong. It's, you know, it's a complete shock when you get that red writing with saying that, you know, everything that you were thinking is wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Yeah. Why? What the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
And
No, I was just going to say that Bork designed that.
Yeah.
And made it into the website function. Yeah. So that was really great because now anybody can take it.
Yeah.
You just need the link.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really good idea because you have that. And that was also used, or sort of a variety version of it was used in that. When they interviewed people in Holland, during the representational art conference,
exactly,
and that was also really entertaining.
That was that got me a little bit fired up.
Yeah,
because I watched that video.
Yeah.
Me and some other colleagues here in the studio, we watched that, and I don't know, it's so exciting that you can follow along with the questions, and you think, what would I answer?
Yeah, exactly,
and you start to wonder about, well, why is this Kish and why is this art?
Yeah.
But if you really get down to it and you think about it and you look at the values, then you'll see why each one is in their place.
Yeah, so there's a variation between really much more subtle points and things that are really clear.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one about, would you prefer nude by Matisse or Zorn?
That's easy. Come
on.
That really tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. And I think if you answer Matisse, you're sort of conditioned to think like that.
Yeah.
And then you say the Kitsch questionnaire tells you wrong. Mm-hmm. You are wrong. Then I think it tells you that, okay, there's something I'm not acknowledging here.
Mm.
And that has to do with the sensual appeal of the image.
Mm.
And I think if you can get, and also I was thinking about myself. I guess like you said, if I was going to go through that test, and I didn't know it before, you know, how would I fare?
Yeah.
And it really makes you much more aware, because then it's not a matter of reading a lot of things and thinking a long time, and you have to answer then and there.
Yeah, exactly. No, and that's, I mean, that's the whole point. The whole point of the questionnaire is that you get to find out where you stand.
Yeah.
It's really putting you to the test. And, I mean, it can be very revealing. It shows you what your values are.
Yeah.
And exactly, you know, in which areas you have certain values.
Mm. But there also, I was thinking about it. I mean, some people, I think, have reacted to this as being too simple. And I'm thinking, well, that the whole point of this is...
That the questionnaire is too simple, or the...
Yeah, okay. It's too sort of binary, as they say now.
Okay.
But I mean, the point is not that this is a, as I say, academically correct text.
Yeah.
The point of this question is that they make you think.
Yeah. Right?
And for example, this thing on if you are able to improve upon nature.
Mm.
And I think that is that. I mean, that is a really tricky point, because you can understand that in you know, both ways, basically. Deviating from nature, which can sound like sort of an arty way of working, because you decide what is better or whatever, and then you stop being an empiricist when you study nature, or of course, when you do that, you give what you paint. More pathos, more sentimentality, more drama, and make it more mythical, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to choose and focus. Mm. And I think that is, you know, a question like that can be a little shock, rather than just reading it somewhere in some, you know, reading Aristotle's Poetics, which you need to do. But I mean,
this becomes
you know,
when you have to answer it for yourself, especially if you're a painter,
it becomes personal.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's really important. I mean, to actually know where your values are, because of course most people are going to be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
A very typical response is going to be about 50-50.
Right.
Nobody's going to be getting 100% kish. That's quite rare. Well, unless you've actually read the questions or you understand what's going
on here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But, it's very important, because then you're going to know what to do, right?
Yeah.
These questions are the answers to you making your paintings.
Yeah, and I guess it's... I'm just looking at them here. One thing it does, for example, that question on if it's inappropriate to paint a portrait of Joseph Stalin.
Mm.
You know, it really... puts the point to, it makes it really, what's the phrase?
Emphasizes
the point, yeah. I always think of something that Ibsen said of, you know, he wrote The Wild Duck, and you have the father there who can appear as a comical figure because he's extremely self-centered.
Okay.
And very sort of, you know, on me and my suffering.
Mm.
But Ibsen is very clear that he must not be portrayed as a comical figure, because he honestly believes in what he experiences or feels, right?
Mm.
And I think this, you know, talking about Joseph Stalin, one of the worst mass murderers of history,
yeah,
makes you really think about, okay, what is the purpose? Well, that's another question. What is the purpose of painting?
Yeah.
Because when you want to elevate the model, you cannot just make a pretty painting of the model, but you have to know what that elevation consists of.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think, who was talking about that? How... it doesn't mean sort of this typical classicist, pretty, totally, you know, without brushstrokes, pretty portraits.
Mm.
But it means to highlight what is really vulnerable in a human being.
Yeah. And also to dignify them.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're in a very bad situation, if they're in a desperate situation,
yeah,
they shouldn't look terrible.
Yeah.
We still want to identify with them as a human.
Right.
We want to feel connected to them and connected to their experience, whatever that may be in the story.
Yeah, and then you get back to, I was thinking of Claude the Civilist by Rembrandt, which was rejected because Claude the Civilist wasn't this heroic figure in the sense that they would want him to be.
Yeah.
You know, unfallible.
Yeah.
But the point, of course, with Rembrandt is that he makes him human, and that is that. You know, that's a strange thing. How you think that to elevate someone is to make them inhuman, but it's the opposite.
Yeah.
You make them so human that you can recognize that this is how it is. This is how you can feel, or this is how you, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You can. I mean, no one is that perfect. Who said that? I think was it Ödenördrum talked about that. How if it's, because he published this book with his favorite poems, or the best poems from Scandinavian poetry.
Yeah.
And he talks about something, he says something like, paraphrasing obviously, if there is a person with no fault, that's a horrible, that's a crook, or that's a horrible human being, right?
Mm.
And this thing about this question about Joseph Stalin, I think it goes to the heart of that. Now you say something.
Well, that's also just a matter of, do politics matter or not?
Yeah.
Do we want to involve politics in the judgment of a painting?
Mm.
Just because he was some sort of figure historically, does that mean that his face is forever an evil face to depict in any way?
Mm.
Can there be a good depiction of Stalin? You know, can you make a great portrait?
Yeah, yeah.
In the Kish value system? Of course.
Yeah. And that's when you... Yeah, you have... So elevating a human figure or a human being per definition drives you out of the contemporary concerns.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if Stalin were alive today, and you can have him sit here as a model, the Kish painter would show some sort of dignification, right? Stalin would still be dignified. You'd see a realistic portrait, and it would be, as best to their abilities, even improved.
Mm.
But if you had an artist, of course, it would be something terrible.
Yeah.
It would just be all about the politics.
Yes.
Not about the actual face in front of you.
Yeah. So do you have any favorite questions here?
One of my favorites is, if a great work is made with joy.
Yes, I was thinking about that. I mean, that again can sound either or.
Yeah.
I think that's also sort of the frustration and maybe the quality also of some of these questions, that you can understand them in both directions.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because there's this Swedish author I read, there was an interview with him, and he said, I'm never inspired. Sometimes writing goes a bit slower, but I just write through it in any case.
There you go. That's the content. But
that can sound like, you know, there's no joy in it. You
exactly.
Just do your duty. You just do your work.
Yeah.
So it can sound like there's some kind of a indifference in that.
Yeah.
But that's just knowing the technique or the discipline to carry you through those moments when you're not sort of really into it.
Yeah.
And then you get to those passages where you really are, you know, making a work enjoy.
Yeah. Well, I would say anytime that a painting is going well, usually you know it. And at least if you're enjoying it, it's going to go better than if you don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you don't enjoy it, everything's going to go to hell.
Yeah, I think the major problem, sort of the basic problem for a lot of painters or for people in general today, is this idea of altruism.
Mm.
That it's not about my concerns or what I want. And so they don't take their own needs into the equation. And
That's the irony with self-expression, right?
Yeah, yeah. That what you want to do is something you shouldn't do or not take into consideration.
Yeah.
And then you lose the joy of working.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing as with people painting from painting a photo or painting just sort of everyday scenes. Nothing's happening. There's no story there. And even though people can, I don't know what you think about it, but I have my personal theory. Even though you sort of like doing that,
mm-hmm.
boring motifs are per definition boring to work with.
Yeah, you're going to be bored.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
there's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
If you don't enjoy it, it's not going to go well. At the very least, you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with, you know, painting from photos.
Mm.
That too, because then you really just stop yourself and become a copyist.
Yeah.
And nothing else but that.
Yeah.
And yeah, and, you know, you can recognize, or I can recognize myself so much in having thought these thoughts earlier, how the point is just to get it correct and not to add anything.
Yeah.
And I'm still thinking to this day, how did that get into my system? Because we weren't taught Kant and Hegel in children's school and say, you know, if you draw, you must always be indifferent. You know? It's like, how?
But of course, that's the thing, is that everybody knows it implicitly today.
Yeah.
Because you don't talk about philosophy, you don't talk about the value systems. Why do you paint?
Yeah.
To paint, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no clear rules, there's no clear direction. It's all just in the sort of vague, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, you know, that you should be yourself, express yourself, be original.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not thought through. So when you do a test like this, it becomes like a shock.
Yeah.
But, and it's also, you can say, it's a bit like this, these monsters that shall hinder your entrance into the temple.
Mm.
You know, if you stop short in a test like this, and you get sort of angry or too frustrated with it,
yeah,
that sort of shows that you're not ready for it.
Yeah.
In some way. Yeah, come on. I can hear myself now. It sounds like I'm saying, yeah, only if you agree with us, then that's when you have the right opinions.
No, but the truth is that, honestly, this would be great for any artist out there.
Yeah.
We could make the best artist ever, Janova.
Yeah.
We could do it. That's true. We have the keys right here.
That's true. That's true. And I think, you know, and that's also, that is also the important thing here. You can get these sort of shocks that start making, I mean, it's kind of a Zen Buddhist thing.
Mm.
You know, but you get these very condensed questions that sort of rip or toss up the whole cabal that you've believed in.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you have to start going through what you actually are standing for.
Yeah.
And I think that is a strength for both sides.
Yeah, it is. I mean, are your values going to be implicit or explicit?
Yeah.
Of course, it's always better if they're explicit. Why would you just leave it up to chance?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be an artist, you would want to be the best artist you could be.
Yeah. Of course, you should tell everybody that you don't know what your values are. but you have to know if you want to be the best. Come on.
If you want to see the entire segment, head over to caveofapelles.com/subscribe. And become a $5 patron today. Watch all our conversations or shuffle through the Cave of Apelles audio playlist by becoming a member today at caveofapelles.com/subscribe.